What free agents will trigger a trade? Grab a coffee, lean forward with your keyboard ready. We are looking at a possible landing spot for top free agents and one signed today. But who would that push out? Let's get into it.
Swing and a ball drilled. Back Taylor Ward, that is gone.
Coming out to right field and deep. Taylor back, track, wall.
This is just keeps on breaking. In the air, deep left field, ranging back is Hayes, at the wall, Mark Vientos has done it again! High, deep drive left field, he crushes this one, totally out of Fenway Park.
Welcome back to the Touching Bases Podcast, talking everything MLB today, every team. Any team that possibly could be in the mix. If you're new here, subscribe, join the growing channel, and like the video at the end if I deserve it. Enough of that. Let's be clear before I dig into this list. These are if these players sign multi-year deals like Santander did today, and I'll get to him at the very end. One-year prove-it deals are not going to move players with control very much, so we're assuming there's a three-year contract or longer, like 6 years. Number one, Pete Alonso. Now, with the latest reports of the Mets pivoting away from Pete as they seem to be on a different figure altogether, and then they just signed Winker, who will fill the DH spot, and Vientos moving to first, it's possible that Alonso does actually sign like a three-year deal that has like player options exactly the same as the one he offered the Mets exclusively. Now, I still think the Mets will come in like 3 weeks from now and sign him for PR security, pretty much. Because if I'm the Mets, going all in with Soto and then still missing Iglesias, and I don't want to throw Beatty really as the sole third baseman, where Vientos showed really his strength last season, I would be keeping him at third base if I was this team. Plus, on top of that, any other team that does decide to make an offer to Pete, they're going to have to factor in his qualifying offer, which means they're going to lose a draft pick, plus they still have to pay him that salary. That really limits to how many teams would be interested, because a lot of teams, these draft picks are very valuable, and then other teams have too many players and they just need to offload, but most of them don't need a first baseman. So I ultimately have him signing with the Mets still, and this opens the door for the Mets to move Brett Beatty for a pitcher or shortstop option, and that's if they don't sign Iglesias, who did amazing last year. He's the reason the OMG thing started in the first place, so the fact that they haven't picked him up is, I think still depending on what they're going to have to pay Pete Alonso during this kind of farce fake pivoting moment. The team that should sign Pete Alonso, I'm not trying to be biased here, but that team won't. But if they do, holy sh! The Mariners would be a perfect spot with the open hole at first base. Now, I understand you're going to probably say Rayleigh's going to play first, but he's not a great first baseman. Neither is Pete Alonso, I guess, so you can probably loop them together. But that's still a really good platoon, and you have a guaranteed bat for DH, and they desperately need bats. Now, would Pete sign in Seattle? I don't know. It's beautiful here, and it's a new environment, but a strong fan base, and he will still get, I would say, the equal amount of love that he got from Mets fans. It's just based on my opinion, though. But if this happens, I feel like, inevitably, Castillo gets moved because the penny pitching ownership that we have to deal with here in the Pacific Northwest, sadly. Where would he go, though? I want to say most likely Toronto, and it's almost more concrete today as I make this video for you guys to try to get it posted up because of the Santander deal. They badly need a starting pitcher at this point. Now, if you look at their rotation, it doesn't seem too bad with the names, but if you look at the numbers from last year, I wouldn't roll with that. And plus, because of them, they have a few solid prospects and very much a solid third base, Ernie Clement, that could be a good return for Castillo. Whoa, slow down. If I'm the Mariners, I don't want Bo Bichette, okay? Before you even bring up his name, some people have thrown out the idea of Mitch Haniger going to like Miami because they are looking for a way out of the grievance issue, just like the A's are involved for 2025. It won't get you much in return, but maybe a bullpen arm that is cheap so they can add payroll. I don't know why Miami would use him as their payroll correction when Yoshida is just as expensive with a bigger bat, and the Red Sox could get like Otto Lopez. So as far as those dominoes going of trades, it just doesn't make sense for the Mariners. But Castillo does. Number two, Alex Bregman. His name's almost like cussing in this household just because of the affiliation with Houston, but we'll leave it alone. By the way, the number two thing, number three, four, one, whatever, it really doesn't matter. There's no value in these. I'm just going based off of people that come straight to my head first. There are maybe like three third base free agents worth signing in 2025, and the gap in the skill between each one is insane. Alex Bregman, a powerful right-handed pull bat that has been in Houston forever, but Houston is like any other white parents when their kids turn 18 and they just kind of let them get out of the house and they move on to the next new kid. There's two teams that make sense to me, at least. There are five possible fits, but these two are just the smoothest little mwah, just perfect. I'm going to start with the one that's less likely, but it would be awesome if it happened. Detroit Tigers. Yes, the cheap Detroit Tigers that made the playoffs and were the most exciting underdogs last season. They went big and signed a prove-it deal with Gleyber Torres, adding to their infield, which was already full and it still has me scratching my head. And it still begs the question of what's going on with Torkelson if Colt Keith, who's never played first base, is going to move over to first base, which is projected. If they sign Bregman, we have a serious AL Central powerhouse after the example we saw in 2024. I think Bregman would be a good fit, but of course, you find yourself with like Andy Ibañez, Torkelson, and Jace Young with really nowhere to go. So does this open the door for trades? Yeah, I think we all agree. That's the point of the video. This makes it very tricky for the Tigers because you are looking at three players who are not making a lot of money and your only holes are in the rotation. So how much are the Tigers front office willing to spend on a starting pitcher and who is in search of a first, third, and second base? Okay. The easy answer? Yeah, again. But I don't see those three names being signed off by Jerry for Castillo, and will Detroit want Castillo? Probably not, honestly. I have no idea why not, but for some reason, I just don't see the connection there. Castillo going to Detroit, and he has a no trade clause. He might not want to go to Detroit. He hasn't really declined at a concerning rate by any means. 3 years of control left still. I'd like to think Castillo wouldn't mind pitching there, considering how far they made it last season, and plus he will have some more run support, given that Bregman is there and Gleyber Torres is there and Parker Meadows is hitting there. Riley Green is there. It's a big list of players that have offense that the Mariners don't have currently. But to expect Jerry to do something good this season is on an all-time low, but I'm trying to be positive. Another team they could trade these guys to is the White Sox. Now, disclaimer, I'm bundling them all together just because this would be an extremely long video if I were to just pick individual teams I would want these guys. It would probably take a lot more movement, but if you wanted to do a quick shipment of these guys and move them out and get something in return, it's the White Sox, the 121 loss season terrible team. For one, Vaughn was negative war last year at first base. Miguel Vargas came over from the Dodgers and instantly looked like he was going to self-terminate himself. I can't say Sue. And Brooks Baldwin is a small sample size, but maybe could platoon with like Ibañez or somebody in the middle infield. And then Josh Rojas is a good defensive player, and I liked him in Seattle, but Jace Young would be a huge upgrade offensively in comparison. I could see Detroit shipping these guys off for like Jonathan Cannon and Prelander Baroa. Those are two arms, one a starter that would be able to fit, I would say, solid in like a sixth rotation spot. In addition, if Alex Cobb falls off the face of the earth, I don't know, I'm just speculating. And yeah, you also have Kenta Maeda, but we all saw how he did last season, so I don't know. I would just feel better with Jonathan Cannon in that spot or ready to go, or maybe a fifth slot if things went sideways. In addition, a consistent relief pitcher who is young, who came through the Seattle's bulletproof pitching development, which would be super promising for the Tigers, I think, in the long run. Ultimately, the key would be move these guys and then try and bring back the Javi Baez that was electric in Chicago with the Cubs. Of course, this might be a really hard thing to do for the Tigers because he really hasn't bounced back at all the last couple of years, and I don't really see any possibility of him performing like he used to. On top of that, finding a team that would take his contract is kind of going to get you little in return. But if you can manage that, that opens you up for the opportunity to extend Bregman later on. Now, this also could be an opportunity for the A's or the Marlins to take on Javi Baez because they need payroll. So that's always an opportunity as well. Whew. The obvious move for Bregman's case pretty much is, and this is if he gets a deal offered to him, is the Red Sox. There's no better fit for Bregman than the Red Sox. They have a terrible defensive third baseman, but an awesome bat and a short distance left field wall that is exactly where he hits his home runs. He doesn't hit line drives, he hits high bombs, and you are looking at a bump in your home runs at home almost guaranteed, even comparing to Crawford boxes at Minute Maid Park or Dykin Park, whatever. Moving Devers to DH or first base could be huge upgrade to the left side without losing their bats. Now, I did talk to Gordo from Playtest City Podcast, and he made a point that Devers' numbers seem to be better when he's actually on the field, so playing first would probably be the best option, and I mean ideal if his philosophy is accurate. Yes, I know Devers' agent says he won't be moving from third base or whatever wording he said. Too bad. You are an employee and are being paid to perform. If you suck at a part of your job, move over for a better performer. Pretty simple. So this opens the door for what we already know from the Red Sox, and they are trying to push out Yoshida, but they also are willing to let go of Tristan Casas. Or they push to simply trade away Yoshida and put Casas at DH and platoon first base with Devers. That's a nasty lineup, and with a similar payroll for the most part. Again, who could use an expensive DH? The Marlins, but that's kind of boring, so I'm going to say the Giants. With money to spend in San Francisco, Wilmer Flores is projected to be a DH for next season, and he only batted 205 last year with only 4 home runs. Now, that's not going to cut it if you're a designated hitter. Your job is to hit, and 205 is not where it's at. On top of that, the Giants, they have the money. They could take his contract. Last big name of the video, and because this is getting so long, Anthony Santander. Now, he actually did sign today, and he is going to Toronto, which was actually my second choice out of everybody. Let me just lay it out for you. The first choice was the Royals because they need an outfielder really bad. They could use somebody who can bat from both sides, especially in Kauffman Stadium, and he hit 44 bombs last season. So it would have been a perfect fit while they still have Perez as their catcher / first base, so they have another power bat. Of course, they weren't willing to spend the money that the Blue Jays had, which was quite a bit. So luckily, the Blue Jays were able to make a splash and get a very good bat for 2025. This is a huge upgrade offensively because they've been focusing on defense way too much for way too long, and they got him for a very long time. They basically replaced Teoscar Hernandez, but 2 years late. It's been rough in this offseason for the Blue Jays, but because of this, they now have a large bat. But they still need to focus on signing Vladdy. They have the money. They got to stop playing around, sign him, secure him, and then start moving pieces to other teams and bring in other talent that can offensively help this team. Because right now, the AL East is the elite of the AL, but it's not even good. The AL across the board is just meh. And as it stands right now, they're going to be the last place seed in the AL. I mean, even with the old O's boomstick right field, this might help push them up in the standings, but if you look at the other teams in the AL East, they're still just not really there if you look at all their numbers. But this might open the door for them to now sign Vladdy. They've secured a good bat, so they know what money is going out for the next few years. Maybe this will push them to open up their pockets, sign a deal, extend Vladdy instead of having him play this year, wondering if he's going to stay in Toronto or wondering if he's going to need to find a new home somewhere else. Now, this could also push out a laundry list of players. I'd say your biggest return would be Davis Schneider. Granted, he didn't do that great, but he could hit the block and they may hold everyone. I really don't know because they don't have a lot of big names to get rid of, and the big names that they do have really had a terrible season last year, like Bo Bichette. Now, they don't have a tight budget, and they could trade anyone for one of the many holes the Blue Jays need to fill. Who's going to be brought back? I don't really know, because that's coming down to anybody on that entire roster besides Vladdy and besides Santander at this point. What are your thoughts? No ideas are wrong, and we're all here to speculate and come up with as many possibilities as possible. Comment down below what you guys think. Like the video if you made it this far. You definitely need to like the video and subscribe at this point. I believe 90% of you are not subscribed. Other than that, I'll catch you guys later.